This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Dylan.
Serena Ryan, here we are in the national capital.
I know, I feel very, very important. We're in Canberra.
Yes, we are in Canberra. We're here because Australian marriage equality comes to Canberra.
Yes, and as Alex Greenrich says, the convener of the Australian Marriage Equality Initiative, dear Canberra, the gays are coming. And yes. You know what? They're just coming through the bloody woodwork tonight. I saw a stack of them on the plane. They're all over the Qantas Club.
A couple of hotties on the plane too, let me tell you. I was having a bit of a perv.
Well, I didn't actually get my dyke on. I sat next to a straight couple that were a long streak of misery.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and then did you know the brakes on the plane as we were peeling out of Tulla?
I swear that plane is going to need some fresh brake pads.
Yeah, I just wanted to pop the hubcaps off.
Started getting me a little bit concerned, as it did the man sitting next to me, who I think is also family.
Yes. It was just a big flying bird full of moes today. It was fabulous. Thank you to Qantas for a great flight. And look, we are here. There's a big day tomorrow. We're coming to you live from Canberra. And we've been very graciously hosted tonight by ArtSource FM, which is in Manuka. And they're a fantastic local community radio station. We must thank them
for their
hospitality.
Yes.
Yes, so tonight we're going to talk to Alex Greenrich,
who is the convener of Australian Marriage Equality.
We're going to talk to two couples, and we're not going to tell you their names because we want to introduce them fresh as Daisy.
Yes, we want to make them sound nice and important.
We do, but we do know one couple is from Queensland, one couple is from Tasmania, and we're hoping to have a lovely lady join us as well from Melbourne. So
look, we're covering all from top to bottom.
Well, from top to bottom,
so to speak. It's a very versatile radio program this evening.
Oh, look, we do our best, don't we? Look, I think we should kick off with a song.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, look.
What do you want to hear?
Well, I feel like
we're all here and we're all family. Should we have something that we can disco to in this gorgeous little studio?
I feel like a bit of Sister Sledge, lovey.
Oh, do you?
Hit it. Yeah. Sister Sledge, loving that sick.
Oh, I was having a bit of a disco boogie right here in this little studio. Thanks to our friends, of course, at ArtSound, who have been very kind and gracious in allowing us to be here to record our program.
So welcoming, because we only really got the heads up on doing the radio show yesterday for tonight. So they've been terribly accommodating, given that they're off the back of a public holiday yesterday. So thank you in particular to Chris Deacon.
Yes, thanks.
He's
Chris.
He's the GM of this lovely station. And we're loving it, actually. They've got a great record library. Sister Sledge.
We went in and helped ourselves to their very extensive CD collection. Marvellous. Look, we're going to be meeting our first guest here in Canberra. We've got a series of those. So
we do.
Stand by. They'll be just trotting in the door any second.
Absolutely.
Listen to us right around the nation.
Joy 94.9.
We're back, Pete Dillon. We've got a couple of lesbians in the studio.
We have, and all the way from Ulverston in Tasmania. What on earth brings you to Canberra, ladies?
We're actually here for the equality in marriage.
Oh, what a small world. We're talking to Jenny and Jen, the two Jens. This is awesome.
Now, is it Jenny and Jenny, Jen and Jen, or Jen and Jenny?
It's usually Jen and Jen. And the funny thing is when we...
Jen squared. Look at you going.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Some people write to us and they say Jen 2.
That's a bit
Jen
cute.
Times 2, yeah. Or the Jens.
The Jens.
Oh, I like the Jens. I think that's going to be your moniker for the next 24 hours while I'm here. What? I'm a bit like Jack McFarland. I make things up.
He's got very good jazz hands as well. What do you do in Tasmania? Tell us a bit about you.
We've got a consulting business. We're also really keen.
Consulting in what?
We'd say tourism, community development.
Public infrastructure, design.
Okay, so you kind of get about a bit. Yeah, and I believe you've got a couple of cottages and you want to give them a quick plug. So let's...
Serena Ryan, you'll have us sacked in a heartbeat.
Oh, that's
we've
okay,
got a couple
love.
Of lovely gay-friendly cottages in Ulverston. Mightn't
good.
Be everyone's first choice, but if you do come to Ulverston, I guarantee you'd have a great time.
Let's paint the picture. Where is Ulverston in Tasmania, first of all?
Alverston is on the northwest coast. It is about where the boat comes in at Devonport. It's about 15 minutes to the west.
So you're not too far from what we would term a civilization.
No, it's very, very civilised.
I don't mean that to be disrespectful.
We're the city slickers from Melbourne, you know.
Yeah.
But look, I like the sound of Tasmania. And look, obviously we've got 24 very important hours ahead of us here in Canberra. It's a big day tomorrow for marriage equality. And we're talking to Alex Greenwich later. And so what does this next 24 hours of lobbying mean to you both as a couple? What is it that you hope to achieve? So two questions.
Well, I guess the first thing I'd like people to understand is that, you know, we're just average normal people. Living average normal life, and we've got an average normal relationship.
And yeah, with its ups and downs, like, yeah, you know, absolutely. We just happen to be gay.
Look inside our life, and it's no different to Mr. and Mrs. Jones. In fact, it's no different to our neighbours.
Go to work, you do your shopping, yep. You pay your taxes, yeah. You mow your lawns, you kill the occasional indoor plant.
Yeah, absolutely. I like washing. She does the washing up and cooking.
You know.
It's pretty regular.
See, there's a good division of household chores as well. I like it.
Yeah, and we raise a son together who's also shared with his dad. So we do all the regular stuff that a lot of other couples do around the place.
And I guess that's what we're here to make a very broad point about is that, you know, we pay our taxes. We are expected to follow all of the laws that heterosexual people do. And yet we are not allowed to fully embrace the law as it relates to marriage. So we're very keen as newsmakers, and we're wanting to bring everybody's story into the discussion in Melbourne and broadly the world. So what is your story in particular? Everybody's coming with a story tonight. What's your story for marriage?
Oh, they're looking decidedly at one another to see who's going to pick this baby up.
I guess the thing that the angle I come from is that I've been married before.
To a bloke.
Right.
Yep.
Right?
And that can't have been a pleasant experience.
We all make mistakes.
Yes, true.
And we all live by mistakes. But when I came out and met Jen, I've met the love of my life. And Jen is just the most amazing and wonderful and beautiful person. We have the fantastic relationship. And I find it really hard to understand why we can't get married. And it's kind of weird that we have to come here and talk to people that we know, our pollies and our reps that we know back home, and sort of stand in front of them and say, well, you know, justify us as normal people. It's kind of strange. Because
it's kind of insulting to some degree.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. I feel very ambivalent about some of this because I don't feel that I should have to ask. And I guess that's the big bugbear for me is that I'm doing everything right as a citizen. I just happen to be born gay.
And you can, knowing you as well as I do, you contribute to your community apart
absolutely.
From swearing at people out of the Magna, which happens. And very much the same here. I contribute to the community. We are involved with our local communities. We
have children in our lives.
Yeah.
You know, we're not breaking any laws. It's a no-brainer.
I just find it extraordinary that we have to make this trek to sit down with our elected representatives who, if they looked at polls, would have a look and say, you know, okay, 70% of the populace don't really have a problem with this. So let's just do it. Let's get it out of the way and let's get on with governing the country with some of the real issues like a carbon tax and, you know, all of that sort of stuff.
Oh, and that 14-year-old in Bali that Julie Gillard called personally, but she doesn't kill any of the kids in detention, but that's another bugbear of mine. I've been on my high horse about that all day. Tomorrow, are you nervous about tomorrow, going in and chatting to MPs?
Not really at all. We just go with showing them who we are, that we're just regular people, and that, you know, just wanting to say to them, well, why can't, why can't we get married and why can't we show our love to each other like everyone else can?
Well, you can show your love, but why isn't it recognised?
Legally.
Absolutely. It's crazy to think that it isn't recognised. I mean, how it could affect anyone else is unbelievable.
I sort of have a general rule that if I'm not having sex with you, what I do is none of your business. And I know that's a really crass analogy, but at the end of the day, I don't ask straight people to come and justify their process and their life behind closed doors.
Hmm. I guess the other thing too is that, you know, someone's sex life or their sexuality is such a small part of who they are.
You know, if I had to list five things about me, would gay woman be on there? No, it'd be sister, it'd be aunt, it'd be daughter, it'd be writer, it'd be journalist.
Business owner.
It'd be all these other things, and I just happen to fall in love with women. I can't change it any more than I can change my eye colour.
Good choice.
You can't indeed. This is Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9. You're with Serena Ryan and Pete Dillon.
We're in Canberra.
We are in Canberra at Art Sound Studios in Monaco. Thank you again to Chris. We'll probably keep throwing that plug in there because he's been very kind to provide us with the studios. We're going to have a couple of messages and we'll be right back with you here from Canberra.
With the two Jens.
With the Jens. Jen Squared.
Wherever we live, work and play, safety affects all parts of our lives.
Community safety is everyone's responsibility, and there are things we can do to make our homes, workplaces, streets, neighbourhoods and communities safer.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
We are here in Canberra, coming to you from Artsound Studios, a very special edition of Salt and Pepper tonight because we're joining the rest of the gay community from across Australia tomorrow at Parliament House. We're going to poke some pollies.
We're going to poke some pollies
all
and
about marriage
some
equality.
MPs, and we're going to ask the hard questions and say, what's so different about what you do that means we can't do it?
And there are people here from all over the country, as I said, who are telling their stories. And we have our first guests in the studio with us,
the
Jen
two
and Jen.
Jens. Jen. It's been good, really.
We could be writing a song about this before the hour's out. Stand by. Goodness knows what will happen. So we were talking about the very normal life you lead. How does your community, your small town of Ulverston, accept you guys?
We've had some interesting experiences. I would say of late, generally reasonably good. But we're members of a golf club in Ulverston. And
With the lesbians
and
the golf
club? Oh, my God, we're going to be friends forever because I love getting my clubs on.
Great. It's a great golf course there too.
Oh, fantastic.
But we actually found that it was okay to be gay as long as you're sort of in the closet. But if you get into the media or anything like that, then you're flaunting it and you're not quite as welcome anymore.
So did that jeopardise your membership?
Yeah, I actually resigned because I really just didn't feel I needed to put up with that kind of stigmatisation at our community club that's meant to be a hobby and a fun time. So that was a little bit disappointing, mainly from the older generation down there.
Look, you're raising a son together, which is great that his dad's involved as well. How old is your boy?
He's 9. Okay,
and what's his experience been about having the two Jens and a dad, and what's that like in a small town? Is he just the sort of kid that goes, yeah, whatever?
Well, interestingly enough, we thought that, but we had a chat to him about coming up here. I mean, he's a pretty intelligent little boy at 9 and explained that we had to come to the government to try to lobby the government so that we could get married.
Yep.
And, you know, for him that's a pretty crazy thing. How come you can't?
Yeah.
Because he understands and sees our relationship is equal.
Yeah.
Kids do. Same with all Jen's nieces and nephews. Same with all mine.
Mm.
There's not a question there. However, we said to him, are you out to the other kids at school? Because he's getting to be in grade 4, just that little bit older. You know, they talk about sex and all those sorts of things at that age.
God, I didn't know about sex until I was at least 30.
Me either. 35, I think. Any rate, we said, you know, do you tell the other kids that, you know, your mum is in a lesbian relationship? And he said, well, no, I don't, because otherwise I'm probably going to get bullied.
And unfortunately that is the case. I've got nieces at a really exclusive private school and it's Catholic, and they've been told categorically that if they're gay, they're going to hell. So they tend to not, you know, the youngest one never said anything about having a homo auntie, and then, but the oldest one got up and went, you know what? This is not cool. And she actually got into a lot of trouble for that. So I can really appreciate that for him. And it sounds like you'll be on a bit of a journey to help him embrace that information in a way that he can own.
Absolutely. Yeah. We just keep the dialogue going and let him understand that, you know, diversity is good. You know, we need a range of people in our community to make a full community.
And
we
love do. Is love. Absolutely. And that's the bottom line. And it's just all about the love at the end of the day. Look, we're sitting here with the two Jens.
More quick question before we put them on their way back on the bus.
Back on the bus.
What's the one question you're going to these pollies with tomorrow, MPs and senators? What's that very simple question that you'd like answered before you leave?
That question of why can't we get married, as in why, how does it affect anyone else that we get married, and why should we be discriminated against for something that is purely biological? I mean, 100 years ago or less, you know, people of interracial you know, interraces, they couldn't get married.
Interfaith couldn't get married.
Absolutely. Mm. There's been, you know, it's been so many things that has our marriage has evolved. So this is just another step in its logical evolvement.
And I think it's a really compelling question. Why?
And a simple question.
Really, it's really, that's about why. And I think what's wonderful is that you can demonstrate the loving relationship that you're in, and it's no threat. It's something to be celebrated. And marriage is the logical institution to do that. So look, we'd like to thank you for popping into the studio. It's been madness today, and you've been such good sports. We'll see you in the hallowed halls at Parliament tomorrow, and we'll be collectively getting our gay on. So thanks, Jens.
Thanks
for having us.
And, wonderful, lovely to meet you.
This is a little song about your relationship and our lives. A bit of Pat Benatar.
We belong. And we're back. That's the lovely Pat Benatar, We Belong. You're listening to Salt and Pepper. We're coming to you live out of Canberra from ArtSource FM in Manuka. They're our lovely, gracious host tonight. And in the studio joining us now is Mr. Alex Greenwich.
Good evening, guys.
The National Convener of the Australian Marriage Equality.
Now, we've spoken to you before on the phone, but it's nice to actually sit in front of you and have a discussion.
Absolutely. It's great to see you guys too.
Well, look, thank you for joining us. Look, we've got a really exciting day ahead of us, and, you know, you're sort of the linchpin to all of this, and we sort of take our hats off to you and your colleagues for arranging such an amazing day tomorrow. Do you want to walk us through it so people at home can see what it is that we're going to get up to?
Yeah, absolutely. Tomorrow is really going to be a key day in the debate for equality. We have around 60 people from all over Australia coming down and meeting with their local MPs, meeting with senators, and talking to them about why marriage equality matters. So often this debate is relegated into the left of politics versus the right of politics, or God versus the Greens, and we often forget who are the actual people affected by this. So tomorrow there will be mums and dads, there'll be small business owners, there'll be celebrants and priests and actual couples who will come down and talk to politicians and explain to them that this is something that is not about politics, this is something that is about people.
Alex, Tony Abbott today has released in a statement that there's no interest from him in allowing his bunch of knuckleheads to take part in a conscience vote. And I know I shouldn't be vilifying them all, but most of them are knuckleheads. How much is that going to have an impact? If he's not going to allow a conscience vote, and there is some people from the New South Wales right for the Labor Party who will vote against a conscience vote, what sort of position does that put us in as a community?
And can he do that?
Yeah, these are all really good questions. And I think the best way for me to answer that question is to say that that is obviously what he has said. And it wasn't too long ago that there wasn't anyone in the Labor Party talking about same-sex marriage. And we have to acknowledge the momentum that we've all been building and all the landmarks that we've won. So we've had almost every state ALP conference come out in support of this, almost every state ALP leader, two coalition state leaders in Campbell Newman in Queensland and Isabel Redman in South Australia. So yes, Mr. No said no. That's no surprise.
But that's his no anyway.
Exactly. Stopping the boats.
But I think that as a community, we can have the encouragement to keep on fighting, and we've already seen huge dividends. I mean, we can, you know, your listeners and you guys can look back 5 years ago. We were nowhere near where we are at today. So Mr. No may be saying that today, but I think there is a strong movement within his party. There are a number of people within the coalition who want to vote for a marriage equality bill. So I'm still very hopeful. And tomorrow is even more important because of what he said. Because tomorrow it's people going down there and saying to him, this is not about politics. This is about our lives.
So I guess I'm going back to my original question is, does he have the power to stop a conscience vote?
That's a really good question. The Liberal Party prides itself on being the party of freedom of the individual, freedom of individual thought, and often they criticise the Labor Party for always voting in blocks, for their votes being controlled by the unions. I think many commentators would see his stance on this quite hypocritical. Whether he is allowed to say there's going to be a no conscience vote, I'm not sure. That's a matter for the Liberal Party. I'm sure it would annoy a lot of people within the Liberal Party if that was the case.
I just wonder if there's a structure in place that allows him to make that unilateral decision. I'd be very keen to know what provisions there are within their constitution or legislatively that says no. I'm just not going to let that happen. I'd be very keen to see what the legal implications are for that.
I guess that's a matter for Liberal Party policy. However, if you have a look at other issues that they have allowed a conscience vote on, it's been issues such as euthanasia, abortion, morning after pill, these kind of things, where the lines between moral, religious, and rights are in conflict. And that's the same here for a lot of people. So there are a lot of people who want to, you know, who want to support this. And the other point there, I guess, is if all the Liberal Party people are against it, well, then why not allow a conscience vote if they're all going to vote against it, Tony?
He's got nothing to hide. Yeah.
In locking them in this position is almost an admission that he knows there are people in the Liberal Party who want to vote for it.
So to some degree, Tony Abbott is revealing his cards.
To some degree, yeah.
And okay. I think his hand too early. We're speaking with Alex Greenwich. He is the convener of Australian Marriage Equality, the national convener. He's here in Canberra with us. We do need to play some messages, but we'll be back with Alex in just a second.
Real people, real topics. Joy 94.9.
We're back. This is Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9, about 26 and a half minutes past.
God, the hour is racing by, isn't it? And we've got everybody coming into the studio.
We're in Canberra. There's a line of people outside this studio
for
days. And
did you know that it's getting down to 2 degrees tonight? We bitch and moan about Melbourne, but hello, this is much colder.
I hope you thought to bring a scarf.
I did. I bought a scarf and I'm keeping myself quite nice.
Yes, well, that'd be nice change. We are with Alex Greenwich. As I said, he is the national convener of Australian Marriage Equality. Alex, I want to sort of flick back a bit and ask you, what your personal story, you and your partner Victor would like to be married here in Australia under Australian law rather than having to flit off to Spain or Canada or, goodness knows, South Africa. Tell us a bit about your story and how you got involved with this organisation.
I guess I first got involved with Australian Marriage Equality before Vic and I even met. For me, I remember very clearly one day walking to high school back in the 90s, and the then Prime Minister, Paul Keating, said, "Two men and a Cocker Spaniel do not make a family." A lot of people laughed and found that funny. It really resonated for me. And it resonated for me because I was, like many people, like many of your listeners, was a young gay man struggling with my sexuality, wanting to get married one day, wanting to have a family one day, and being told that I couldn't because I'm a gay person. And so that gave me sort of the resolve, once I did come out and become comfortable with my my sexuality, to think, no, I actually can. I should be able to get married. Look what they're doing in Canada, and then join for those reasons. Then meeting Vic, someone who I know I want to spend the rest of my life with, just confirmed that resolve even further. So that's my background and why I'm involved in this.
Well, I think what people will experience tomorrow when we all walk in and start to meet with our local representatives is they're going to hear our stories, and I would hope that that results in some sort of emotional shift, because our stories are compelling. Our stories are about love and compassion and commitment and wanting to secure the rights that heterosexuals have. My mum is a 75-year-old Irish woman and she wants to see me get married, because she just doesn't understand why, just because I was born differently, that I don't have those rights. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the impact of the personal stories. And I, you know, talking to people tonight has been so interesting to see what the genesis of this resolve, where, like your story is about Paul Keating, Two Men and a Cock Spaniel, appalling. You know, for me, it was about checking into Jetstar a couple of years ago and with my partner at the time and not being able to share luggage. I was over, she was under, and because they didn't recognise our relationship. And I was gutted because there was a straight couple beside us allowed to check in. And it was about luggage, you know. It was crazy, and for me, that's where my journey began.
Well, we all want to be families. We all want to...
Well, we are families already, Pete, but we want the legal recognition who we are and how we love and the combination of people that we choose to love in our family is just as important and it's just as relevant and it should enjoy the same benefits of equal citizenship.
Indeed it should. And I've got a song for you, Serena Ryan.
Oh, play it, love.
And I'm sure there's a woman out there that's going to be singing to you any minute. This is a bit of Elvis Presley. You're always on my mind.
Oh, love, look at you go.
Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. And I guess I never told you I'm so happy that you're mine.
Pete Dillon, I love that song. That's a bit of Elvis Presley.
I know you like getting your Elvis on, Serena Ryan.
Well, I don't actually. But
don't you?
I'm not a great fan. I'm a lesbian. I like the Indigo Girls.
Oh, of course you do. I'm Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah, look, you're listening to Salt and Pepper. We're up here in Canberra, courtesy of ArtSource FM, who have been our gracious hosts.
Gorgeous
here for
little community radio station.
Oh,
lovely
so
people
lovely.
Wandering the hallowed halls.
We've got Michael and Alan here, and they're from Brisbane, and they're going to talk to us about their role tomorrow at the Marriage Equality Matters full day. We're going to be legging it through Parliament. Honestly, we're going to be...
Darl, I'm wearing flats.
Yeah,
I don't have a choice. I've got to wear flats.
Yeah, just make sure you've got lip and a, you know, nice
a bit of lip
brooch.
In a brooch. I'll be fine. Brooch.
Okay, fellas, welcome to Salt and Pepper and to the madness. You know, it's coming up to about 20 to 12. It's nearly midnight. So thank you for
we're
joining us.
We're all feeling
us.
A bit worn out.
We're all a bit, you know, a bit over-refreshed. But look, tell us why you're here in Canberra. Tell us what brings you here.
Okay. Obviously, Alan and I, we've been together for 21 years now, and we just really want to get married, and we feel that everyone should have that right to be able to make the choice rather than being told who they can or cannot marry. And in this case, I'd love to marry the man that's the love
that
of my
you
life.
Love.
Yeah, I mean, it was really nice watching you when I came out to the foyer to meet you. You're so clearly in love, and you've been together for 21 years, which just staggers the bejesus out of me. Well
Most
done.
Most people don't get that long for murder.
And look, you know, your love seems really quite obvious, and you seem really connected as a couple. And what's it like for you knowing that, I mean, we're all homosexuals here. I mean, we're all the lived experience of not being able to get married.
No.
But, you know, well, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, great big puff over here.
And I'm loving the ladies. So
Julie's in trouble.
just pulled your Judith Lucy routine there.
I did. I
know.
Put my Judith on. Look, what's it like to know that, you know, you can't express your love in a legal way and get married? What's that like for you?
It's little things like say, you know, you go out to a restaurant or walking down the street, like we're walking around part of Canberra today, and as Alan said, you know, I'd love to be able to just hold your hand. Things like that so many people can do that it's kind of not accepted that we can or should be able to do. And same, you know, you go to a restaurant, you see a heterosexual couple sitting there holding hands across the table. How would we be accepted if we did that in a mainstream restaurant? It's just...
It's interesting, isn't it?
Because I don't know that we see that sort of stigmatisation in Melbourne.
And yet I'm originally, you know, I'm originally from Perth, and I know that I've had relationships in Perth where I felt the same way, where I don't feel now that if I walked down the street, I could hold a woman's hand in Perth. And that's no kibosh on Perth. That's just how it is, you know? Mm. And so it's very interesting to me that you equate the public freedoms with marriage. So it's about being able to hold hands. It's about having, you know, that demonstration of intimacy in a public space. I think that's a really interesting angle.
Mm. And it's not sort of, you know, going over the top. It's just holding hands, etc. But primarily just to be able to say, yes, I want to marry the man of my dreams, to be able to express our love publicly like that and have it recognised. And more importantly, have it legalised.
Indeed.
How do your families feel, Alan? I'm going to tackle this one with you.
Yes.
Well, my family, I come from a very strong Catholic family, which probably there are a lot of homosexual people that do come from.
Yeah, Pete and I are both putting our hands up.
1 of 10 over here.
And actually in my family, my older sister, she was married But she is also gay, and her partner have been together for 16 years. And my younger brother is actually studying to be a priest. So you could say our family is quite extremely diverse.
Mm.
But I suppose it was difficult at the beginning of Michael and my relationship because there is an age difference. And
What is that age difference? I know we shouldn't ask a lady her age. But
well, there is 20 years.
Okay.
20 years.
See, I wouldn't have picked that. I would have said about 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Like with Michael, when I met him, he'd been previously married in a heterosexual marriage.
That's okay. We all make mistakes, darling. Yeah.
Been there, done that, love.
But Jennifer, his wife, is extremely beautiful lady, and we all get along extremely well, which is probably something unusual as well.
Mm.
Well, I think, you know, but in a grown-up world, that's the ideal, is exactly, that you just want to get along.
Exactly. But I think at the beginning, my father and mother were quite taken back. I think as a young child, there was obviously gay tendencies for me. But never acted upon and sort of very suppressed. So my parents, I moved to Brisbane from Townsville. And,
oh, good Lord, you poor man.
Yes. And and of course, it was a case of not long after in retail I met Michael. He was working in the airlines. And
oh, look at you go, retail and airlines. Yeah, this is gayer than Moomba, ladies.
Serena, please try not to insult all of the guests.
Look, let me ask you a question. Tomorrow you get to meet members from your area in Brisbane. What are you going to ask them?
I'm going to ask them, why has it taken so long for Australia to actually look at marriage equality? We often want to be a country where we are upright and forefounders of you know, progression in a lot of things. And I think being a young nation as we are and a diverse nation, I believe that, you know, we should be showing the world that we stand up for what we believe in. And I think it's, you know, it's so important. And what is the problem to just accept everyone, embrace everyone? I mean, we always talk about families and making the world a better place, peace on earth. And to me, everyone being themselves, being able to have choice in their everyday lives, there's nothing more simpler.
Oh, I feel a bit emotional, actually.
Needs
that's
to
just
hand Serena a bit of a
that's just
a
really
Kleenex
kind
there.
Of touched me quite in a really deep way. I've never heard that's just a very articulate way of saying it, and I think we're gonna play this audio multiple times, and that's gonna come up a lot. I mean, I think you've just nailed it. You've absolutely nailed it. Thank you.
That's
thank
okay.
you.
Perfectly articulated. I think we might have a little breather.
I think we might
play a few messages, a few station messages, and we'll be back with more of Salt and Pepper live to you from Canberra tonight here on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Look, we're back in the we're back in the game, I guess, aren't we? We've just come
speak
out.
Speak for yourself, love. I've never had to pay for it. Good Lord, what do you like?
Oh, look, he's quite dirty tonight, lads. I do apologise. Look, we've really enjoyed having you here, and we were just taking a little break off air, and Michael gleefully told me, Alan, that you hadn't planned to say anything tonight, and yet you've just completely floored us, mate.
Thank you.
And look,
I have my moments.
I think that's the sort of thing that's going to have an impact tomorrow as well, when we are poking pollies with these stories. If you can articulate your story as you just did, they'd need a heart of carbon to not take that on board.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you.
We'd really like to thank you for coming tonight, both Michael and Alan from Brisbane. It's a wonderful story that you've shared, and we've so enjoyed meeting you. And we'll see you in Parliament tomorrow,
yes,
bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yes. Looking forward to it.
All bit right, of lippy and a brooch. Remember, we're flats because we're going to have to hoof it through there all day. This is Salt and Pepper here on Joy 94.9. Coming up very shortly, we're going to meet with a mate of ours from Melbourne.
Yeah, Jack Tomlins.
Jack Tomlins, who's also up here.
She's doing some amazing things. But let's play a tune, Pete.
Do you want something dancey, Serena?
Well, I think we need to play I Will Survive because this is all about love. It's all about, you know,
all
equality.
Right, let's go.
Let's get our disco on.
At first I was afraid, many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along.
Oh, love getting my glory again, Oran. I will survive, and I hope we do survive tomorrow. Because
I'm sure we will,
Peter. We do have a very big day ahead of us, but you're going to introduce our next guest, Serena Ryan.
We're sitting here with the wonderful Jack Tomlins from Victoria. Jackie Tomlins, or Jacqueline. Jack's got a fantastic blog called Same Plus, and I've met Jack a few times, and her beautiful partner, wife, Sarah Nichols, who's not with us tonight in Canberra, but Jack is. So welcome to Salt and Pepper.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
It's a bit late at night.
You've got a couple of kids as well, haven't you?
Three kids, yes. Yeah, which is why Sarah is not here, because she's at home with them.
With the children.
Three kids, 4, 6, and 8, 2 girls and a boy. Yeah.
Good Lord.
And they're beautiful children. Absolutely gorgeous. They are really very special.
We both do, I have to say.
So, Jack, tell us about Same Plus. It's a blog you've launched in the last couple of months. Tell us the genesis of that.
Well, it really started from hanging out in the kids' school playground, where I have to say I spend quite a lot of time these days.
Because you're the mum at home, aren't you?
Yep. Yeah. Sarah works full time. I'm the primary carer. So I do spend a lot of time pick up and drop off, hanging out there. Two of them in school, one not yet. And what I realised was that there was an awful lot of support in that playground for me, for the family, for same-sex families, and for the whole issue of same-sex marriage. You know, mostly straight, married families. And I was kind of trying to think, well, how could I harness that support, and how could I, it was kind of a two-way thing, how I could perhaps talk to them a little bit more about what was going on and how I could bring their support on board. So I came up with the idea of starting a blog, really to try and kind of reach out to the straight community, I suppose. I think there's a lot of work being done within the gay community, but I felt like there were some stories to be told by straight people, straight couples, straight families out there, and that's what I wanted to do.
A fellow by the name of David Pocock plays rugby union for Australia. He's in New Zealand playing for the Wallabies at the minute. He and his partner got married, his wife, girlfriend, whatever, had a celebration, but they said they didn't want to get married until it's legal for same-sex couples to get married. Now, this is a bloke who's...
Yeah.
He's as straight as the day is long.
Well, he's originally from... Zimbabwe or somewhere like that, and has a lot of trouble with the fact that it's just simply not legal for us to get married. And sort of, I really want to take that on board with you, because I mean that's the sort of support you're harnessing with what you're
doing.
Yeah,
well, the interesting thing was is that when I started to write the blog and to send out emails and to try, the first thing I did was to try to get people to write letters to our local MP, and which they did. They were absolutely fantastic. Lots and lots of people wrote letters and they sent me copies. And what I realised when I started to do that is that they had been prompted to write the letters by my asking, but really they were about all sorts of other people in their lives. They weren't about Sarah and I. They were about cousins, brothers, sisters.
So there was a point of
friends,
common ground.
All sorts. And then a lot of people just felt that it was wrong. And a lot of people felt for their own kids that they hoped that at some stage in their kids, if their kids grew up gay, they wanted them to be able to get married. So it was kind of a really interesting process for me to sort of start with the point of sort of Sarah and I and getting support for us. But in actual fact, what I realised is that a lot of those people had their own issues with it too, irrespective of how they felt about Sarah and I.
I think it's a wonderful angle that you've taken to tackle the straight community, because as you've said, the gay community is picking this issue up and we're running with it. We're running with it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's understanding and acknowledging that the heterosexual community have their own stories
absolutely.
Of same-sex love within their own families. I am my family's story, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And we are all our family's stories. Tell us your story with Sarah.
Well, Sarah's Canadian. I'm English originally. I mean, we've both been here for sort of 20-odd years now. But when our first son was born, we were in Canada, took him to see the grandparents, and we happened to be there at the time when the law changed in Canada. This was in 2003.
Oh, okay.
Initially in Toronto, which is where Sarah was from. And we were driving down the freeway and it came on the news, completely unexpected. And it was, it was quite a moment. It completely freaked us out. And I remember actually saying to Sarah, "Oh my God, that's incredible." I said, "You know, that means we could get married." And she said, "Oh my God, we could." And I said, "Well, will you marry me?
In the car.
Yes, in the car, going down the freeway. The 901 or 401 or whatever it is. And so basically we decided to get married. We had a little bit of lead in time because we were on maternity leave. Sarah was on maternity leave. So we organised a wedding on a credit card, all unplanned. but it was fantastic. We sent out invitations to all sorts of people. Our only hesitation really was that we wouldn't have a lot of people who we wanted to be there, especially from my side. But the amazing thing was that people came. Our best friends from Perth came. My sister and brother came. I mean, my best friends from Melbourne, I mean, and various relatives and friends from college. So we had this fabulous wedding. And then what happened was when we came back to Australia, I think we were probably the first Australians to get married under the law in Canada there. And we ran a test case in the family court with another gay male couple to try to get some clarification as to the legal validity of our marriage. And what happened was just a few weeks before it was about to be heard in the family court, that was what prompted the then Marriage Howard Act government to to amend
Black Friday,
the August Marriage the 13th. Act. Mm. Yeah. And so that's what happened. So it meant it knocked out our day in court. So the case was never actually heard.
And that was also not just to say that your marriage that was solemnised overseas couldn't be recognised here. That was when they changed the Marriage Act to say that marriage is between one man and one woman.
That's correct. Mm. Yep, absolutely. So I kind of feel a little bit of an obligation now, which is part of why I'm here today, having facilitated that change a little bit. I feel like we need to change it back or change it better.
Okay, well, building on that, we're all Victorians. We're each meeting with members from our directorate. What are you going to be asking tomorrow?
I'm not sure what I'm going to be asking. I've got a lot of things to, when you said that, I've got a lot of things that I want to say.
Okay.
But I suppose what I want to ask is I'd like to identify what their concerns are and see if I can address those.
Yeah.
The sky's going to fall in. There'll be
plagues
and pestilence. And
then there's that whole problem with polygamy and pedophiles marrying their victims.
All sorts of terrible things happening to children.
Indeed. Yep.
And I suppose, for me, burning issue is the fact that I live in one of the most liberal electorates there is, and I can tell you that people do not care. Mm. They really do not give a stuff.
Was your electorate canvassed?
Not specifically.
So you're not in Kelly O'Dwyer's?
Josh Frydenberg just up the road.
Oh, God, Lord.
We saw Josh. He was good. He was okay.
He's a young man.
We won't go down that path particularly. But I suppose that's one of the issues that I want to raise is the fact that I think all over the place now, people really are either very supportive or they don't give a stuff. Deal with it, move on, let's deal with some bigger issues.
Because they're quite clearly saying this doesn't impact on us.
Look,
we're just about out of time, I think. Jack, how can people find your blog? Just before we say
goodbye. www.jackietomlins.com. JackieTomlins.com.
Fantastic.
And JackieTomlins.com.
That's a really great blog. I've read it. And people can subscribe
Thank
to your
you.
Blog
yep,
as
absolutely.
Well. So you
they
can get
can
updates.
Easy.
And there's wonderful stories on there. I really encourage people to look
and
on.
And there's a community Facebook page, same plus.
Beautiful. Log on. Peace. Look, Jack, thank you. Thank you so much. Good luck tomorrow. We're going to be stomping the halls together.
Like I said to all of our other guests, make sure you wear flat shoes.
You've been on Salt and Pepper. We're coming up a little bit before midnight. So
yeah,
I think, Pete, I think it's time for us to say goodnight.
It is, because if I don't go and lie my weary head down, there is no way that I'm going to look at all windswept and interesting tomorrow.
Well, we do need to get our mints on and make sure that we go and we ask some of the hard questions and we show them that we don't have two heads and we tell them that the sky will not fall in.
And I think the interesting thing for you and I did talk to Michael and Alan about this when we weren't on air, you and I are single.
Mm.
So we're coming at this with a very different angle completely. It's about honesty and openness and trust in our community from our leaders.
But I also think it's about, this is on our wish list.
Yeah.
This is on our wish list for our future relationships. And I think it's all up for grabs tomorrow. And
as long as I'm your bridesmaid, darling, there's no apricot taffeta. I can't wear a drop waist and a leg of mutton sleeve, not at my age.
Well, we'll talk about that.
We will.
It's been a great show tonight. We've had some fantastic guests. And
thank you again to our team here at ArtSound in Monaco.
Particularly Chris Deacon for making us so welcome. Thank
and
you
to the Jens and Michael and Ellen and, of course, Alex Greenwich. And the beautiful Jackie Tomlins.
Oh, it's been a great night. Good night, Pete Dillon.
Good night. Let's go back to the hotel.
See you next week, guys.
find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. My motto's always been, when it's right, why wait until the middle of a cold, dark night? When everything's a little clearer in the light of day, and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.